Good morning. God bless you. Today is Wednesday, May 29th, 2019. On Monday, May 27th, Memorial Day, we had a wonderful time at the cemetery here in Crumbstown, paying tribute with our neighbors to the men and women who gave their final measure of sacrifice for the freedom and ideals of the United States of America, which we all love. We gave God our thanksgiving both for our country and for our beloved neighbors and citizens who loved us so much to give us everything so that we might continue in these freedoms and ideals and be able to pass them on as their legacy onto the next generations. As freely as we have received them and promised to maintain vigilance so they receive the full measure of that the Father has given to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So today I'm teaching on men and mighty men and women of valor. As used in the Bible, valor is the Hebrew word chayil and refers to characteristic traits of a person that reveals worthiness. A mighty man or woman of valor would be a person of true worth. The King James Version Dictionary expands by adding this point: the real value of a thing is in its usefulness, meaning valor embodies the power or capacity of procuring or producing good. Merriam-Webster says valor is strength of mind or spirit that enables a person to encounter danger with firmness. It's personal bravery. Certainly those who have responded to our nation's call to protect our freedoms by putting their lives on the line have the characteristic traits which reveal worthiness. Our servicemen and women demonstrate valor. That's why we honor them. They are persons of great worth who encounter danger with firmness. They exhibit a personal bravery. In Proverbs 31, verse 10, the Hebrew word chayil is translated virtuous, meaning uprightness, integrity, honesty. In other verses, it refers to strength, power, and might. So the virtuous woman and the man of valor are on the same page. Virtuous and valor are the Hebrew word chayil. In the book of Judges, there is an inspiring record we should look at regarding Gideon. In Judges chapter 6, gives us the record of Gideon, where God calls him a mighty man of valor. There are many takeaways in this record that are relatable to all of us. Before we begin reading, I want to explain what was going on at the time with the children of Israel. The book of Judges gives us the history about the children of Israel. After Moses led them out of Egypt from bondage and slavery, and following the death of Moses, they were in Canaan with Joshua. After Joshua's death, over the next several centuries, God appointed judges from time to time to lead the 12 tribes of Israel. The judges would free them from bondage of their enemies, and similar to the daysmen, they settled disputes and ensured justice was maintained. They were unlike kings in that the judges did not rule over the people. The Israelites would keep the word for a while and then slip into walking disobediently. Their rebellion to God would carry them into harm's way, and ultimately they would be overtaken and be made subjects to the desires of their enemies. Believe me, any POW will tell you that there is no fun, that's not a fun way to live. Of course, when the sorrows of captivity hit home, the children of Israel would cry out for God to save them. And being the wonderful God that he is, he would appoint the judge to intervene. While the painful lessons were still fresh in their minds, they would walk uprightly. But once the judge died, they would slothfully drift back into their old ways of sinfulness, and the cycle would repeat itself. As I like to say, people are serial sinners, but our faithful God is a serial forgiver. In the Old Testament, they called that backsliding. So as we read in Judges 6 about Gideon, it begins with the children of Israel having done evil in the sight of God for the past 7 years, and like the times before, they had been conquered, this time by the Midianites and the Amalekites would pass through. They were subjected to severe impoverishment under bondage to the Midianites and to their false gods. The Midianites kept the children of Israel in deep poverty, and every season of planting, growing, and harvesting crops, the Midianites would come and take all the fruit of their labors for themselves and leave the Israelites with nothing. Anything they managed to have was because they hid it where the Midianites came. When the Midianites came to raid their goods, they couldn't find it. Gideon scraped together what wheat he could hide and hid it away in the wine press. He would go at night in secret to grind the wheat into flour. Others of the children of Israel hid away in caves and dens in the mountain area around Gilead. They had no freedoms to really enjoy at all. One such night, as Gideon was threshing wheat in secret, suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared to him. This is recorded in Judges chapter 6, verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, meaning Gideon, and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." His first words to Gideon might have been a shock. Here Gideon is hidden away from the Midianites, threshing wheat in the night, and the angel messenger appears to him and says, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon must have thought to himself, "Are you lost? You got the wrong man." It is interesting to note that although Gideon was hiding away from the Midianites and was not doing anything particularly heroic, God did refer to him as a mighty man of valor. Then verse 13, "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites." Isn't that so human? You get some good news and you just turn it back on God. The Lord left us. He dumped us. And he's forsaken us and he's delivered us into the hands of Midian. Take no responsibility at all for your sinful walk, sinful lives. As most people in this situation, Gideon asks, "If God is with us, why is all this badness happening? I'm not even evidencing that God even exists, and you say he's with me. Well, where? In this rundown old wine press? It's not even a threshing floor. And what about all his other children who are almost perishing from hunger? I'm in a hideout. What valor are you talking about? Where are all God's miracles that our fathers told us about? We've heard all these great things about God, so what's happening? God must have left us." Gideon is feeling anything but mighty, but God's message indicates that he sees Gideon as a mighty man of valor. How do you think God sees you? Forget all your personal condemnations and the lies of the enemy. I think many believers bounce back and forth between, "God has something very special for me to do, and I am the least of all of his children." Because of this, we tend to get very little accomplished. Meanwhile, our talents and abilities that we have acquired through diligence and discipline never really get energized by the spirit and inspiration of God working in us. What was once our passion is now, not that. I want to do miracles and healings, but not that. Did you ever consider that if you really applied yourself in doing that which you know and spent time applying your learning, you could position yourself in a place to do the miracles and bring about healing? Don't let the devil make you think your accomplishments are of no Christian use and not worthy of your time or anybody else's or God's. God can teach and prepare us for the work, whether in general or in specific situations. Most of life is a mix of both. You have some general situations, and then you do have very specific situations. But don't be caught up in spinning in the mental circles trying to figure out, where do I fit in the body of Christ? Or what specific assignment in the body of Christ has he called me to do? Am I the brains of the outfit? Or am I just an arm or a leg? The scriptures, and be busy with the obvious. If he gives you an alternate route, then take it. Your future will become clear as you enthusiastically busy and not be fretful, spinning your wheels. That is how God works in the body of Christ. If you sit by yourself waiting to know everything before you jump in, you may find yourselves miserable and alone and have nothing to jump in. For a long time, let's be movers. I have heard believers' voice, what does God want me to do? They feel that there is something very special, some very special calling for them to fulfill. And there is. Our God is extraordinarily special, and so is our calling. Yet it may not be specific in nature that they might seek the work of God has for them to do and could be happening and could happen. But don't limit your life's desires and efforts to a specific assignment or certain training. God is totally unlimited in every aspect of life and has equipped us to tackle any need and complete every work. You're completely and fully outfitted for every good work. Haven't you heard in the manifestations what God thinks of you, including your accomplishments and fields of study you have chosen? We live in an age of crises. There are so many areas where your abilities are needed with the power of God energizing you. You can take it to another level, a higher plane than I have found. Remember, as I had opened with, the word for virtuous is chayil, found in Proverbs 31. The virtuous woman is complete. She's the complete complement to the mighty man of valor. And within the depths of that, we have another teaching, but that's for another time, so stay tuned. All these qualities are within those who reverence God and desire to keep his word. We see valor and virtue in Esther, Deborah, Elida, Benjamin, and many, many others are named as mighty men and women, Yahail. In verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? God, who knows all and knows those whom he has called, will supply us with all we need to perform his calling, even if we don't quite feel like a mighty man or woman of valor at the moment. Certainly Gideon wasn't feeling it. You feel me? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Gideon might remind us of Moses. He reminded God of his circumstances. I'm not a good speaker. Maybe you ought to look at Aaron. And God said, okay, you do what I tell you to do, and then I'll have Aaron speak it, what needs to be spoken. And how he might not be the best choice for the job. That is so human. What do you think keeps humans from readily accepting God's calling to special assignments? The voice of the enemy, of course. There are many records of God calling men and women to perform extraordinary things for his children on his behalf. The most formidable foe to our walk on the God-breathed, walking out on the God-breathed word is basically the fear of failure. There's a song out by Zach Williams called Fear, He is a Liar. The chorus sums it up. Fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath and stop you in your steps. Well, number one, he'll steal your breath. What he'll steal is he'll take away the word, the God-breathed word that you have sown in your heart and stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar. He will rob your rest and steal your happiness. Cast your fears in the fire because fear, he is a liar. God assured Gideon that he would be with him and that Gideon would win the battle against the Midianites. Read verse 16 of Judges chapter 6. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. You ever heard you and God are a majority? Well, there's the truth. In verse 17, Gideon begins to acknowledge the truth. God just may be calling him. Aren't we all similar to Gideon in some way? Remember, God made man, and he knows how he works, and he knows what's in man. In Psalm 103, verse 14, it tells us, For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are made of dust. With God, nothing is impossible. Even working with dust, God also knows what he put in man and how that works. That is the great part. We need only to know that because God set it up that way, it will work. So if God sends us, we need only to go, and the rest is on God. He is our supply. For us who have confessed Jesus as Lord and believed in our hearts God raised him from the dead, we have that gift of Holy Spirit by way of Christ in us. Of all the men and women of valor, no man of valor has ever graced this earth more than victoriously than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ought to load up on the things Jesus said to his disciples. That is why the study of the scripture is so important. Those scriptures will tell us what to do. The word of God outfit us with the right thoughts for valor, giving us the unique privilege and power to procure and produce a worthwhile work. Even if you volunteer for something, treat it as if God called you. Believe that God has worked in the person that asked for the volunteers, that the Spirit of God is at work with him or them or her. And God will work within you. Colossians tells us, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. If you do something, get in it and give it your all. John chapter 20, verse 21 tells us, Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. As the definition for valor indicates, we have real value. We are called to be useful, and we're to be vessels unto good works. We have the power and capacity for procuring and producing good every day of our lives. We have the strength of mind and spirit enabling us to encounter the enemy with firmness and resolve. Let's demonstrate our personal bravery. God bless you. Have a blessed week.